All right. So I wanted to just give you a brief overview of a review of what Jonathan began last week. And I thought they did a good job of understanding the story of the Bible, understanding, and I liked how Jonathan put it, the roadmap of, or the highway of Jesus, of knowing God's plan of grace. And we see that all through the Bible. So in Deuteronomy, we have this Moses' last departing words, as we know that he cannot enter into the promised land because of his own sin, but he expounds on what the children of Israel needs to learn, and especially the new generation. The old generation, as we'll learn today in chapter 2, has passed away, but the new generation will go in. And so Deuteronomy is very important for us to understand who God is, how God wants his people to be. And, you know, sometimes I feel that many believers don't like to tackle the Old Testament enough because they may view it as very legalistic or they start their reading plans, like I always say, and we get bogged down in Numbers and Deuteronomy, right? But there's God's word is full of his grace, his mercy, and his teaching, and looking towards the cross. So what we hear here is God's words on how we as believers today need to live and to understand how God operates. And I think that's important. Even in the Lord's Supper this morning, thinking about some of those aspects of who's a pardoning God, even the aspect of blood. No amount of blood in the world could have covered us, right? And we see that if we read the Old Testament, the animal sacrifices over and over and over again, but it was all pointing to the once and for all, the Lord Jesus Christ who paid for it all. So we get a greater picture, again, of what God is doing when we understand the Old Testament and specifically the series on Deuteronomy. So turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 2. And I'm going to just, I'm going to divide the chapter into three sections, and we're going to just hit on a few aspects of each section and what the Lord is teaching, what the Lord was telling them, and how does it relate to us? How is it supposed to impact us? If you're taking notes, the title that I've kind of titled this is, A New Generation Must Learn to Follow God's Commands. They must learn to follow God's commands, and by that, listen and obey, like the video was saying, not just sound waves coming to the ear, but understanding God's word and living by it. I think we tend to just, again, either put God on Sundays or whenever the meetings are, or be good Christians, but we don't make it practical, we don't make it daily. But we see here God was daily into the lives of the people and teaching them how to live for him. A new generation must learn to follow God's command. They must learn to listen and obey. Two quotes just to throw at you. Instant obedience is the only kind of obedience there is. Delayed obedience is disobedience. And whoever strives to withdraw from obedience withdraws from grace. Thought that was really interesting. Instant obedience is the only kind of obedience there is. Delayed obedience is disobedience. And whoever strives to withdraw from obedience withdraws from grace. Another one was from Dr. B.J. Miller. He said, "It is a great deal easier to do that which God gives us to do, no matter how hard it is, than to face the responsibilities of not doing it. It is a great deal easier to do that which God gives us to do, no matter how hard it is, than to face the responsibilities of not doing it or the consequences of not doing it." I like thinking about quotes. I like to start my studies this way because it gives me a theme to follow. What is God teaching me personally when I'm studying? What is lacking in my life? Where have I fallen or gotten bogged down in my life? And I ask the Lord to reveal these things. So I think about these quotes and I think about, okay, Lord, am I doing all that I'm supposed to be doing for Thee? Am I walking the way I should be walking? Am I glorifying Your name in my walk of faith, in the responsibilities, father, husband? Am I doing all that I'm supposed to be doing? So I really reflect a lot when I study and when I read God's Word, because I know God is trying to teach me something. So I pray you would do the same. Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to gather once again and to gather as Your people to understand Your Word. We know that we're not here by chance, Lord, but that You have granted us another day, another opportunity to look into Thy Word and to fellowship as Your body, to learn together, to grow together, and to be accountable to each other. Lord, may You open up Deuteronomy chapter 2 to us. Lead us by Your Spirit. Teach us by Your Spirit, Lord. And may we leave here challenged and transformed for Thy glory and Thy purposes. In Your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Jonathan mentioned a few things I'd like to mention again. He came up with really good guiding themes: to know, to remember, and to be careful. To know, to remember, to be careful. He was saying to know your failures and understand God's faithfulness, to remember your weaknesses and God's workings in them. Remember your weaknesses and God's workings. And finally, be careful to observe and do all that God has commanded. Be careful to observe. This was a key thing, right, in the children of Israel's history. Be careful to observe. Why are you not observing God's graciousness and how He has led you out of Egypt? And that's why we see them wandering in the wilderness. It's interesting that when you think about it, where they were to where they could walk into the promised land and go into the promised land, it could take them literally 11 days. 11 days. But yet, because of their sin, what did God do? God was going to create a nation of worshipers by taking them to the wilderness. 40 years. 40 years to transform these people's hearts. To know your failures as a people. To know and to see God's faithfulness, to remember your weaknesses and depend upon God's goodness. 40 years to be careful to observe and do all that God has commanded. Will you learn? Hello, will you learn? And yet it took them 40 years. And we're here at this point, about 38 years, and we're going into this narration of Moses going over. It's a retelling of the law, retelling of what they need to learn. And he's looking towards the promised land, and he's saying, are you going to remember? Are you going to observe what I have commanded you? Are you going to live in obedience? You know, you pause for a second, and you say, what has changed? Not much, right? Not much. God desires this of us. God was creating a nation of worshipers who is going to be a nation among nations, and they have had to learn how God wanted them to be. What has changed? Not much, right? God is doing that same thing in our lives, and therefore when we study these things, this is really telling of where we are with the Lord and how He wants to use us for His purposes and for His glory. So I pray you look at that in the same way. And again, this is the message, like Jonathan said, a message of Jesus, a highway of Jesus through the Bible, pointing to what God is wanting of us and how He wants to use us. So this is a retelling, and if you want to look at Numbers 20, you don't have to turn there. This is a telling of this the same story, but Moses repeats it here to emphasize some certain things. So I want you to understand or think about these lessons again. Listen to know, to remember why God did these things, and then again, be careful to obey what God is doing. I was watching a documentary the other day, and it was the story of, I can't remember the years, maybe, but it was the story of Guyanese people, okay? These are Guyanese people from Africa, and it's actually specifically speaking to Indians that were taken from India to Guyana, and they developed a whole Indo-Guyanese culture. And then they because of the poverty in Guyana, they were taken to New York. Okay, and so this was talking about the story of the Guyanese people, Indo-Guyanese in New York. And they were talking about poverty. They're talking about how hard, and that sometimes they didn't have food at night. And they were talking to one baker, Indo-Guyanese baker, and he was talking about nights where they didn't even have food. They didn't even have food for dinner. And then he's like, well, we didn't have anything else to do. In New York, you just get up in the morning and you start working. And then, so the commentator asked this Indo-Guyanese guy a question. He goes, do you think the generation today understands the importance of what all you did? Do you think the generation today understands hard work? Do you think they realize all that went into it? And the guy, it was a great question. I thought it was a great question because I think about the same stuff sometimes. And he sits back in his chair and he says, you know what? I think they do in a way, but they don't know the extent of it. But that's where we come in to tell them, to teach them about the past, and for them to appreciate all that was done in the past. You know, in a sense, this is telling the same thing of to a new generation. Do you understand? Do you understand what God did? Who God is? Do you understand the stories of old? And therefore, will you live accordingly as God wants to bring you into the promised land and bless you? Will you take up the mantle? Will you take up the cause of God and fight? Will you take up the cause of God and live according to his words? Will you live obediently? That's the word that's given to us even today. Will we do it? Will we understand? And will we believe and lean upon the Lord? God is always there, and he's always teaching us these things. Let's begin our study here as our time is flying by here. Again, three sections I want to separate this into, and I have three titles here. But overarching title, A New Generation Must Learn to Follow God's Commands and Listen and Obey. The first section of chapter 2 is 1 through 8. Okay, so we're... again, he's there before the promised land. They haven't gone in, and he starts to retell this to the new generation. And so I titled this, Moving Past the Wilderness in Preparation for the Promised Land. Now think about that. Moving on to what God has for you, but moving past the wilderness. What was God doing in the wilderness? He was doing a great work. He wasn't just saying, some people think they were just lost for 40 years. No, they weren't just lost. God was developing them. And so this is moving past the wilderness in preparation for the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 1. Then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness of the way of the Red Sea as the Lord spoke to me, and we skirted Mount Seir for many days. Okay, so that's another way of saying we went around in the desert. Okay. And the Lord spoke to me, saying, you have skirted this mountain long enough. Turn northward and command the people, saying, you are about to pass through the territory of your brethren, the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. Therefore, watch yourselves carefully. Do not meddle with them, for I will not give you any of their land. No, not so much as one footstep, because I have given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession. You shall buy food from them with money, and that you may eat, and you shall also buy water from them with money, and that you may drink. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're trudging through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. And when we pass beyond our brethren, the descendants of Esau, who dwell in Seir, away from the road of the plain, away from Elath and Ezon Geber, we turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. So in this first section, God is teaching them, moving past the wilderness in preparation for the promised land, look back. Enough. We've done enough wandering. I have used the wilderness in preparation for you. I don't know about you all, but sometimes it feels like the Lord takes us through a wilderness, a time of great trying, a time of heartache, time of pain and suffering. It's not God saying, I'm done, I'm so fed up with you, go to the wilderness. No, God says, no, I'm going to take you somewhere where you realize my hand, where you realize who I am. So Moses is telling them here, look past this. We're leaving the wilderness and we're moving. And I'm going to prepare you for the promised land, okay? But don't forget what I used you for. It's like when my mother went through breast cancer, God gloriously helped us and provided. And so I've never forgotten those years because God taught me great faithfulness. God teaches us these things in the wilderness. Move past the wilderness and move on. And he's saying, make sure you remember what I've taught you. Here in these few verses here, he's beginning to teach this new generation. Follow my commands and watch how I have blessed you and how I'm going to bless you. You see in these verses here, a few thoughts here, okay? Time to move on after God's preparation of the people. Verse 7, look at verse 7. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're trudging through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you and you have lacked nothing. Despite need of food and water, God has provided. Despite your murmurings, despite your... I think it was like a year or maybe less than that, they began their murmurings in the wilderness. Despite all this, God has known your trials. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're trudging these 40 years and you have lacked nothing. You know, God takes us through certain times in our life that are very trying, but he never keeps us lacking for anything. He gives us, he's a supply, he supplies us with our every need. Sometimes we don't realize that. We don't realize it. We don't think about things. We don't slow down enough to think about all that God is doing. Stop your murmurings and unbelief. Forget the pleasures and stories of Egypt. God is your provider. God knows your steps and provides for your needs. And he says here, he next commands them as they take them through the north. He says, I'm going to take you by these certain people. And I'm going to command you how you were supposed to act to these people. Verse 4, and command the people saying, you are about to pass through the territory of your brethren, the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir. And they will be afraid of you, okay? If you remember, they were a great number, a great nation. God, you understand, why couldn't God just every single nation that they come across, just wipe them out? Show the power of God. Well, we forget it's not our will, right? We forget, God, this is our will. I think this is your will also. No, that's not how God works. It's God's will alone, right? So God has a purpose here, and he says, here's the first test of obedience. I'm going to command you to go by these people, but not to meddle with the people of Esau. Why? Well, they're the descendants of Jacob and Esau, right? So they were descendants. They were relations. Relations. And God says, do not annoy or meddle with the Edomites. But we know that the Edomites still held generational hatred and bitterness. You remember the slight, right? You remember what happened. But yet they still would not allow them to have any relations. Why would God bring them by these people instead of just wipe them out and take them over? No, he says, no. I have a plan. I have a plan for these people, and I have a promise for them also. And we're not going to mess with them at all. You know, this is just a small lesson here, but I wonder if God was teaching them, even though these people may hate you and hold grudges against you, can you forgive them? Can you forgive them? Can you forgive those that hate you? You know, we may have sometimes you have relations, people that you just don't get along with. People that hold generational hate or bitterness for something probably you don't even remember. But as believers, I wonder if God was teaching them as well as us today, do you forgive? Do you bring forgiveness into your life? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. God in Christ forgave you. He says, you shall buy food from them with money that you may eat, and you shall also buy water from them and with money that you may drink. But you shall not meddle with them any portion of their land. And God was going to sustain them. It says in verse 7 again, God knows your needs and God will sustain you as you walk past your brethren. He says specifically in verse 8, and when we pass beyond our brethren. You know, it's interesting, some nations are considered brethren here, right? So God has a will for even how he uses other nations, and we need to be mindful of that. God will sustain us no matter how other nations treat us. You know, we on Thursday night, we remember persecuted Christians all the time. We pray for them, right? We pray for our persecuted brethren. But we also pray for those nations, right? We pray for those nations that they will know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we, or the believers, will be a nation among nations. It will be a witness unto others. It's amazing how God is teaching this new generation. Are we going to adhere to these lessons? A new generation must learn to follow God's command. What's the next thing that he teaches them here? Look at verse 9. We'll start with the end of verse 8 into 9. Away from Elath and Ezon Geber, we turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. Then the Lord said to me, verse 9, do not harass Moab, nor contend with them in battle, for I will not give you any of their land as a possession, because I have given Ar to the descendants of Lot as a possession. Then Eman had dwelt there in the times past, the people as great and numerous and tall as the Anakim. And they were also regarded as giants like the Anakim, but the Moabites called them Emim. And the Horites formerly dwelt in Seir, but the descendants of Esau dispossessed them and destroyed them from before them, and dwelt in their place, just as Israel did to the land of the possession which the Lord gave them. Now arise and cross over the valley of Zered. So we crossed over the valley of Zered, and the time we took to come from Kadesh Barnea until we crossed over the valley of Zered was 38 years. Think about that. 38 years. This is the present time, until all the generation of the men of war was consumed from the midst of the camp, just as the Lord had sworn to them. For indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from the midst of the camp until they were consumed. So it was when all of the men of war had finally perished from among the people that the Lord spoke to me, saying, this day you are to cross over at Ar, the boundary of Moab. And when you come near the people of Ammon, do not harass them or meddle with them, for I will not give you any of the land of the people of Ammon as possession, because I have given it to the descendants of Lot as a possession. That was also regarded as a land of giants. Giants formerly dwelt there, but the Ammonites called them Zamzumim. Hopefully I'm getting these names right. A people, verse 21, as great and numerous and tall as the Anakim, but the Lord destroyed them before them, and they dispossessed them and dwelt in their place. Just as he had done for the descendants of Esau who dwelt in Seir when he destroyed the Horites from before them, they dispossessed them and dwelt in their place even to this day. And the Avim, who dwelt in the villages as far as Geza, the Kephtorim, who came from Kephtor, destroyed them and dwelt in their place. Here, this section, this second section here, there's a sense here that he's saying, remember the promises of God and how Israel will bless all nations. God uses Israel to bless all nations. He says, remember the promises of God. Remember Esau and the descendants. Remember Lot and the descendants. These are all brethren, right? Relations that God promised. God had a promise for them, and God was true to his promise. So what was the command? The command was, again, not to meddle or disturb with the Moabites or the Ammonites. God has given them a land for possession. God moves in other nations and gave them a land by allowing them to defeat the giants of that time. The Emim here, if you're interested, were their name, the Emim, were called the terrible ones. The Zamzumim were the crafty or wicked men. They were the giants. And God, you think about it, God displaced these people so the descendants of Lot could move in here. God's will, God's ways are so much higher than ours. And we seek to understand, which is great, we try to understand God's will and everything, but sometimes we just need to let God do what God does. And we need to depend that his will is perfect. We know his will is perfect. So God does here, and this is a great turning point in the history of the children of Israel. 38 years passed until a generation of the men of war. So you think about, men of war were generally considered 19-ish, right? 38 years, you add that on, what's 1957, I guess? Until these men, this generation passed on, where they were able to move forward to the promised land. Think about the generation. They've watched a generation walk through the trials of the desert and walk through the trials and see God provide and God teach them along the way. What a great lessons. And God was going to move Joshua and Caleb out of that earlier generation. They were the only two to go with the new generation. Moses was going to continue on until the very border, right? And then he dies. So God uses recollections of what he's doing to teach them who he is. Have you ever paused and thought, I don't know about you, maybe I'm crazy. I'm crazy. I think about this stuff. I think about my parents a lot. I think about all they went through to come as immigrants from India. And maybe most people probably don't think about this as much as I do. I sit in my lazy boy and I think about this. I like looking at black and white pictures. Because my wife may think I'm crazy, but when we're at the table in Florida with my parents, I sit down and I ask them, weren't you scared when you got off the plane? How did you know to get an apartment? How did you know how to pay a bill? My mother first went to the grocery store for the first time, and she saw, and this is probably, I may get the details wrong, but she saw 25 cents for banana. Right? She saw .25. She thought it meant $25, and she went away from the grocery store without food. And I'm like, no one was there, but through those trials, they learned to depend upon God and to learn how to develop a life. And they brought those lessons, and I think about, man, I benefit from what God has done in their life and the lessons learned. And now I can live a life to with better knowledge, a better understanding, better faith, or I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but a stronger sense of faith when I see looking back, appreciating all that God has done. This new generation, they see a generation after 38 years die off. Why? Why did God not allow them to go into the promised land? Sin. Clear as day. We have a holy and just God, and God taking them through the wilderness, but their murmurings and their sin, God said, no, this generation cannot come in. But you, new generation, I will take you in, and I will show you even more the blessings of the promised land. But you have to obey. You have to obey, listen and obey, and adhere to all that God is doing. What a great turning point here. Look at verse 14 again. Halfway through, until all the generation of the men of war was consumed from the midst of the camp, just as the Lord had sworn to them, for indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from the midst of the camp until they were consumed. So it was when all the men of war had finally perished from among the people that the Lord spoke to me, saying, this day you are to cross over at Ar, the boundary of Moab. This day I'm going to take you forward. What great lessons. What great lessons. Moving past the generation who wavered in their devotion to the Lord, and the hope now of a desert generation, this new generation, who has seen God provide for them, needs to move faithfully to the promised land. Do you live faithfully? Do you depend upon all that God has brought you through? Sometimes we don't realize all that God has done. Let me share a quick illustration, and we're going to close with this last section here. You know, sometimes we don't understand, or we don't see God, therefore we can't depend upon God, but God is always there. There's this little illustration that I found in Daily Bread, okay? Think about this. The early American Indians had a unique practice of training young braves, okay? These young men. On the night of a boy's 13th birthday, after learning hunting, scouting, and fishing skills, he was put to one final test. He was placed in a dense forest to spend the entire night alone. Until then, he had never been away from the security of the family and the tribe. But on this night, he was blindfolded, taken several miles away. When he took off the blindfold, he was in the middle of thick woods, and he was terrified. Can you imagine, 13 years old, terrified by yourself in the woods? Every time a twig snapped, he visualized a wild animal ready to pounce. After what seemed like an eternity, dawn broke and the first rays of sunlight entered the interior of the forest. Looking around, the boy saw flowers, trees, and an outline of the path. Then, to his utter astonishment, he beheld the figure of a man standing just a few feet away, armed with a bow and an arrow. It was his father. And he had been there all night long. We don't realize how good God is to us. We don't understand. We don't depend upon him. But God is always there, knowing our needs, and takes us forward. Like this new generation, he's saying, now it's time to move, to cross over, and to depend upon me. Learn from the past. Learn from this past generation, and put your faith in me. The last lesson here, he takes them past the descendants of Esau. He takes them past the descendants of Lot and says, don't meddle with them. Don't touch them. I have a plan that's their will. I have promised them a possession. But now, will you obey? Look at verse 24 to 37. Rise, take your journey, and cross over the river of Arnon. Look, I have given into your land, into your hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and engage him in battle. Okay? Pause 1 second. Rise. Rise in your love of the Lord. Rise in your faith and move. Engage in the battle before us. Engage in this world with the gospel. sharing the gospel, engage all nations. And he says, begin to possess it and engage him in battle. Can I just dwell here for a second? We sit back very comfortably in our lazy boys, and we take a back seat to all that God is doing. Here's a great lesson of rising and going forth. You know, it's great to see Adelson here, and I know he struggled through many things, but he went forth and he had to depend a lot on the Lord. I know he had to depend a lot on the Lord. Sometimes that's our calling. We have to engage the world. We have to tell them about the Lord Jesus. And God says, arise, go in, possess, which I have promised you, and go in faith. I will go before you. What is it? What else does it say? This day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you upon the nations under the whole heaven. Who shall hear the report of you shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. And I sent messengers from the wilderness of Kedemoth to Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace. So Moses is saying, first I'm going to give him a peace, an olive branch of peace. Verse 27, let me pass through your land. I will keep strictly to the road, and I will turn neither to the right nor to the left. You shall sell me food for money that I may eat, and give me water for money that I may drink. Only let me pass through on foot, just as the descendants of Esau who dwell in Seir and the Moabites who dwell in Ar did for me, until I crossed the Jordan to the land which the Lord our God is giving us. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass through, for the Lord your God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into your hand as it is this day. And the Lord said to me, see, I have begun to give Sihon and his land over to you. Begin to possess it, that you may inherit his land. Then Sihon and all his people came out against us to fight at Jaaz. And the Lord our God delivered him over to us, so we defeated him, his sons, and all his people. We took all his cities at that time. We utterly destroyed the men, women, and little ones of every city. We left none remaining. We took only the livestock as plunder for ourselves with the spoil of the cities which we took. For Arar, which is on the bank of the river Arnon, and from the city that is in the ravine as far as Gilead, there was not one city too strong for us. The Lord our God delivered all to us. Only you did not go near the land of the people of Ammon, anywhere along the river Jabbok, or to the cities of the mountains, or wherever the Lord our God had forbidden us. In these closing thoughts here, God assures them victory. God gives us these same promises today. He assures them victory. Go up and possess it. Yes, it's the promised land. Yes, it's the land that we've been talking about. I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to get you to conquer it. But you know what? I'm not going to just go with a sword and do it all for you. I want you to go and possess it. I want you to engage and depend upon me as I take you through these things. God was going to contend in battle with the enemy. He wanted them to understand and know these things. God's promises are sure, and he will fight for them. Matthew Henry says, though God assured them that the land should be their own, yet they must bestir themselves and contend in battle with the enemy. What God gives, we must endeavor to get. What a great thought here. God is doing a great work here. Peace offer was rejected, God hardened his heart, and God gave these people over to them. Some of my thoughts here is this new generation, their first step into this battle. Can you imagine it? After all that they've gone through, God says, okay, now it's time. As you cross over, it's time. I'm going to be with you. I'm there with you. Go. Even as we went to do evangelism and my first witness opportunity or something, I was shaking in my boots. But God promised me, it's not about you, Anil. It's not about you, Anil. It's about me and the gospel. Go and give the gospel. Bestir ourselves as believers. Bestir ourselves to obey God's word and to live gloriously for him. It's so easy for us to sit back. It's so easy for us to just say I'm a believer and I got life insurance and I'm good to go. No, there's so much more to it. So much responsibility given to us as believers. And it's the same thing for the children of Israel here. He was preparing them to go into the promised land. It's there. Go up, get it, and conquer. God, he was teaching them a lot about who they are. Will they depend upon him? Will they follow him? History is a record of an encounter between character and circumstance. God is teaching us as we walk through life, in every circumstance of life, every joy of life, every suffering in life, how will we deal with it with the Lord? How will we deal with it with the Lord? Let me close with that thought. This is a new generation. They had to move past the wilderness and to possess the blessings of the promised land. Are you possessing all that God wants and has for you? Maybe you need to bestir. I love that word. It's an old word, right? Bestir yourself. We need to bestir our faith in this new year. The Lord is coming soon. It's a promise. It's a given. He's coming. Are we going to bestir ourselves to be a nation, to be a nation of believers who will be a nation among nations and that the world will know? It's interesting. In a few chapters, and it says in Numbers, that nations have heard of them and have quaked in their boots waiting for them to arrive because they knew what? They knew God was with them. They knew of a God that was with them. What if? What if people around us knew our testimony and knew who we stood for? Would they want to know the same God? Would they want to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's close in a word of prayer, and then I'll ask Joey to come up. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to understand your word and to understand the promises and the lessons that you taught the children of Israel. Lord, what a joy it is to know that you are a pardoning God. You are a God full of mercy, but a God full of grace, who knows the wickedness and the sinfulness of a nation. And yet, Lord, you sought to teach them about who you are and teach them forgiveness and love and kindness and to depend upon your faithfulness. Lord, may we be in the same manner, understanding these lessons and live these lives of faith gloriously for thy name and to make thy name known. I thank you again for this book. I thank you for your words, and may it reverberate in our hearts and our souls, Lord, and that it would stir us to be great testimonies to the lost around us. We thank you, Lord, in your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.